Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining Carrie Aller and Friends Coffee Chat. Today I have with me my sweet friend and author, Paula. Hey girl.
Hey.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. So how are you enjoying the weather right now?
It's kind of, but it's what we pray for. I rather have hotness than winter any day.
Really?
So, yes. I am not a winter girl, so... I'm loving the hot and the heat. So that's a plus.
Man, like, I heard all these jokes this morning on the radio, and it was like, it's so hot outside, my sweat is sweating, and, like, saying all these random things. Like, there was one joke, and it was like, it's so hot outside that my chickens are laying hard-boiled eggs. I thought that was funny. Oh, gosh.
I think I could do the heat. I could do the heat. With the pool, and it's a different type of humidity. Like living in Oklahoma, that heat was horrid. So
yes,
I can completely understand. I think I did a science project when we lived in Oklahoma, putting cookies on a sheet pan when that was a hit on Caleb. So I went and try that. That does work. You can make cookies inside your car.
Oh my
but
gosh!
Here, I have a pool, so I'm like, let me float away.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm just so excited to have you on the show, and I love your story and just your perseverance and how you've done what the Lord has asked you to do. And no matter what was going on in your life, you just kept it moving. And I'm sure that, you know, there are probably times you maybe you didn't feel like you were doing that, but for those of us that observe you and just again, your perseverance and what you do and how you pour into people, you are amazing. So,
That's too kind. That's so kind. I think the struggle that we have in today's society is that we focus so much on storms, and we focus so much on what others are doing in their life that we don't notice what we can do to help others or speak into ourselves or speak into others. So one of my things is, even though how crazy my life is, I want to make sure that I still am speaking into others or helping them or showing, especially with what I do, making sure that they are taken care of. 'Cause that's what feeds my soul, is speaking life or showing that, you know, no matter how crazy the life is that's going on in my life, I still am able to talk and speak or show that, you know, you still can get up, you still can rise again, you still can, even though your world is crumbling and the storms are coming, there's still a rainbow, there's still a little break in that storm. So that's kind of, I take it day by day. But yeah, that's one of the things that I love to do, is just to speak into others.
Yeah, and you do that very well. And will you tell everyone a little bit just kind of your journey about Rise? And, you know, when you said Rise, that made me think of that. So go ahead and tell everyone about what you do with that ministry that God's put on your heart.
Well, so funny story. Rise actually was planted in me probably back in 2009. For some reason, God loves to give me these beautiful ideas during all my storms in my life, where I'm like, the world is ending, and God's like, well, I'm going to use you. So Rise was actually planted in me in 2009, during a hard time. My marriage was going through a season. And so he put in my heart that he was going to use me to help others. I did not know how he was going to use me, because I was like, how in the world are you going to use this broken, messed up girl, you know? And so he planted in me Jeremiah 18:6, which is the potter and the clay, and he showed me, you know, no matter how broken you are, you still can be restored and renewed, and even with all your scars. So I had no idea. I started with a Facebook page. I actually thought, you know, I told God, like, look, I made a Facebook page, but I needed like a phoenix. And God was like, I had my corporate job that I was still working with in Oklahoma City, and I was doing this Facebook page for women, empowering women. And God was just like, no, I need you to leave your corporate job and do this. And I'm like, pump the brakes. I don't know. I don't have no money. I have no idea how you want me to do this. I don't have business loans. I don't have anything. So God made my job very uncomfortable. And during that time, 2009 was a hard year for me. But during that time, I had I was told I couldn't have any more kids. So I was actually a competitor. I was speaking and showing and using my story to show women with eating disorders or body dysmorphia that you can do this type of thing, like competing or working out or just different ways to touch and speak into women and quotes and empowerment. And I had lost my son unexpectedly. I didn't even know I was pregnant. I was about almost seven months pregnant. And I wanted nothing to do with fitness. I actually got into it with God. I said, I did everything you wanted to do. I quit this job. You made it uncomfortable. I leaked. I started this Facebook page. You told me you were going to use me. You restored my marriage. You brought me to this new place. And now you took a kid that I didn't even know. And I remember sitting in the car. It was snowing outside. And I said, you told me you were going to use me. But how am I supposed to trust you when you took your own kid? You took mine, and you took your kid. So why should I trust in you? And
wow.
It was funny that it was actually Christmas Eve. I had lost Callum December the 12th, which his name means God's warrior. So I was just over it. And so my husband was texting me. I had thrown my phone in the back of the car. I was lost. Keep in mind, I did not know where I was going. I was just yelling at God. I had left the house. I had nowhere I was going. And so my husband was calling me, and I ended up driving back and getting home. And my husband gave me this binder, and I opened the binder up, and inside of it was three little small little business certificates. And he had seen people responding to my loss of Kellen and read the letters and read things of me wanting to do hubs and stuff. And he said, you need to open your hub. You need to open your Rise. And so that's how Rise Above the Ashes started. I didn't want to do it. I said, you're crazy. You lost your mind. I know no one here. And so it actually was funny because I was trying to do my first hub without the help of my husband, without the help of anybody. I did not know how to get a business loan. So actually Rise started off on our 401k. My husband took a 401k loan. And I had used the little bit left that I had for my 401k, and we created Rise. And so it started in this small little building. And I laugh because I just remember us going there every night and first we had to find a building. We finding this building and gutting it and building it. And we started this one little studio. It was supposed to be this little studio, personal training studio. And that was all it was supposed to be. All of a sudden, it turned into a 24-hour gym and in this small space. And we weren't even there for a year. And I went through the transitions of, I wanted to work with women and empower women who went through women's shelters and human trafficking and teen moms. Teen moms are very important to me, myself being a teen mom. And I was in a small town that I didn't know anybody. And being a military kid growing up, you're used to going and leaving. And this was the first time, I lived in Oklahoma. I had family in Oklahoma. I had my neighbors in Oklahoma, and I worked a full-time job. So this was a totally different open up small business. And I kept praying to God, God, you have lost your ever loving mind. We're opening up this place. What are we going to do? How am I going to do this? And I remember doing flyers, and I remember people just tearing my flyers down and having people tell me, well, you're not from here.
Wow.
You're a transplant. And that was the first time I ever heard the word transplant, because again, being military, you move and you go,
right.
You're kind of like a dandelion, you blow seeds and then you go. And so, Rise was born out of that, the Phoenix and Rise was born out of the Jeremiah 18:6. And so, God was like, you're just rooted here for a season to plant here. And, to get things going. And don't worry, I'm going to bring people to you. So little by little, he started bringing people to the point where we ended up having to, another space opened up. And I was like, oh God. I remember my landlord was saying, hey, I have the space. Do you want it? And I was like, how am I going to afford this space? We're barely making it. And when I say barely making it, we were making enough to pay the bills. I lived the first year in fear of being a failure, because I was like, how God put this dream in me, and where am I supposed to get these people at?
Right.
And all of a sudden, I was like, well, how am I supposed to get clients? Like, how am I supposed to have members? And it was like people were trickling in, like, just like, I call it like the little military gym, you know, you have people from all over. They're just lost. They're coming in. And I remember sitting there and telling Damien, like, I feel like I need this bigger, the building that we're in right now. So I feel like we need this. I feel like, you know, we need to do that because we're already starting to be involved in the community. And I felt God, I kept saying, well, how about if I get investors? How about if I do this? And God was like, girlfriend, you made it this far without anything else. Why are you relying on man? And I'm like, well, God, you know, man pays the bills. So I was humbled and got on my knees and had people come and pray with me. And we prayed over that space. And so Rise moved to that space. But I remember putting the Bible verse on the wall, and people who would come to Rise would see that Bible verse and be like, so this is a Christian gym. I'm like, well, it's faith-based, yes. But it's a gym that loves everybody. And we've been through, you know, and so I would have different women. I was like, oh my God, how am I supposed to train people? And people would come and want to be trained by me. And each one of them was like, it was kind of like ripping off band-aids of my own life, you know, from eating disorders to teen moms, to losing children, to going through hardships in marriage, through body dysmorphia, to, you know, I'm not proud of myself, but, you know, I was a typical teenager that, like, fell in love, you know, did not love herself. And, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, but, you know, the world speaks, you know, when you let the world speak into you, you believe what the world says about you.
That's right.
And I, you know, being sexually assaulted at the age of 4, you know, different things I was seeing face to face, each person I was training. And it was like, God was using, like, you know, most people when you meet and you train them or stuff, you might have something similar, but each person that has walked into my life that I train, I have been through something that was similar, so I could speak and share my story with them.
Wow.
And that's what Rise has truly been. It's gone through the changes, you know, and I haven't been a perfect business owner. You know, there's stressful times. There's times that I'm not, you know, people are like, you're supposed to be a Christian. I'm like, well, I'm not perfect. If God wanted me to be perfect, I would not be here.
Right.
Angel up in heaven. But he knew that I was too much to be that. So he sent me to the world. So well, I'm here. That's what I tell people. I would have been a high maintenance angel. I tell people that, you know, like, it's just a season, like, you know, Rise is actually, I use it as Kellen's legacy, and it was Kellen's legacy and story, because if I hadn't lost Kellen, if I hadn't gone through what I've gone through, I don't think my husband would have seen the impact, because at first my husband didn't truly understand why I gave. Like, I would, you know, adopt families in need. I would, you know, have them, you know, do their Christmas for them. And, you know, we would go and buy everything on their Christmas list and do breakfast and lunch. And I don't know how we did it, but we always did it. And I think 2017 was just a very powerful year for me, because, you know, I left my corporate America job where, you know, going through what I went through in 2009, I had this fear of not being secure financially. And I was like, God was like, you need to leap. And I'm like, leap from what? I'm financially secure. Like, I have a job that pays me well. I'm doing what you told me to do. You know, I'm out here giving back. I have this Facebook page. And God's right. Like, no, leap. And I'm like, leap from what? You leaping or am I leaping? Because what I see right now is you're throwing me out of this plane and you're just telling me to fly. So, it was just a very powerful, because on 2017, like a week before I had even knew about Kellen, the little girl that we did the family need for Christmas, they were going through, they were selected. We selected them for their Christmas, their Rice Christmas. And I'd walked through the door with her Christmas gifts. She was put on hospice and she had taken her last breath. So aww. I felt like I failed. And so I was like, God, so I was angry. And I was just an angry person. And I was like, God, I can't even do this right. Like, I can't even walk in here and deliver Christmas on time, you know, because we did it before Christmas. Like we did it right after Thanksgiving, because she was on hospice. So she was about almost 3 years old. So I was like, I couldn't even deliver her last Christmas on time. And then Kellen happened. So I was really angry, in denial, and just felt like a total failure. But God kept putting, you know, Jeremiah 18:6, the potter and the clay, to me. And so that is kind of what my ministry is. I love to give back. I've been struggling this year of walking away from Rise. I fly up there every other month to speak life into my girls. But it has been a learning to let go, because God has been telling me, you're only there to plant seeds. You aren't there to root yourself. You are rooted there to sprinkle into others.
Wow.
And to make a place, you know, for people, but you weren't supposed to be there. You're meant to go elsewhere. And I never truly understood that until I got this random message to write a book. And
I wonder who did that.
this old neighbor down the street, like, reached out. And I never truly understood that until I was writing the book about roots, in one of my chapters in my book talking about roots. And it hit me across the face. Because there were several times that Rise could have failed. There were several times that Rise could have shut down and stopped doing what it was doing. There were several times that I wanted to give up because of things that were happening out of my control. I mean, I've been through, you know, the shifting of cleaning out people. And I don't like to say cleaning out people, but like the shifting of losing people.
Right.
And sometimes due to my own mistakes, or sometimes, you know, God's like, well, that's not the way that I want you to go. Like before COVID, Rise was booming. I mean, we were booming like crazy. And then COVID happened and I didn't think we were going to open our doors again. And we made it through that. Rise is the story of the two fish, you know, the two fish and the loaves, you know, like I joke around all the time. Like, I'm like that little, that's what Rise is to me, because I don't know how we do it, but we do it. I know how, but I'm like, it's not a gem to me. It's God speaking into others. It's a refuge. I think when you walk in there, you know, that it's there to do more than just a gym. It's been able to help others that are there to start their own businesses.
Yeah.
I have always had in my heart that I wanted to do different hubs so people can do their outreach and make a difference and bless others. You know, it's never been truly about the money to me. Money always makes things go around, but my greatest reward is watching others touch others or use their story to inspire others,
mm-hmm.
or sprinkle little seeds. So that's kind of Rise in a nutshell to me. It's a 24-hour gym located in a small town in Ohio. Actually it's right behind a Hustler's, you know. It's amazing. It's right behind the Hustler's. I mean, if that's all God, that's God right there, you know. Because I joke around with everybody. Every time I come home, I just tell everybody we're hustling every day. So it's right, you know. So it's just a typical. The best way to describe Monroe, Ohio, is kind of like it's smaller than Piedmont. It's smaller than Yukon. It's kind of like a little Surrey Hills.
Yeah.
And people don't leave. they live there. They tell me, oh, I moved. And I'm like, where'd you move from? They're like, down the street. And I'm like, oh, that's not moving. But it's a small town. And I'm always going to be thankful to that small town for even letting this girl open something there. So that is, you know, God has always said, you're more than Rise. It's just a hard situation, as you know, when God calls you to do something else. So
that's right. That's amazing. And, you know, what I love about your story and all that is there's so many people right now that are out there that are in the similar boat that you were, which is, okay, God put this thing on my heart. I don't know where the money's going to come from to start it. I don't know what resources I have. I don't know where I can put my business. I don't have a building. I don't have this. And we make this long list of what we can't do or why we can't do it. And I love that God just reminded you. And I think God reminds all of us. We just got to listen that, you know what? He's got it. Like, he's God and nothing is hard for him. Money's easy for him. A building's easy for him. I mean, everything's easy for him. So we just got to trust him.
Oh, yeah, girl. I mean, I will tell this to anybody. If he could take this hot mess express of a teenage girl that was so broken, you know, I had the eating disorder. I was diagnosed with anorexia nervosa at the age of 15. Mm. I was sexually molested at the age of 4. You know, and I still have, there's roots that are deep inside that. That have come, you know, writing that book and going through what we're going through has, you know, brought some of that to the surface. But, you know, I was a teen mom. And then on top of being a teen mom, I have a son that was diagnosed with Asperger's. So, I mean, you know, you finish school, my dad once told me, like, well, you could have told, my parents told me all the time, you could have been a lawyer. The way you are, you could have been a lawyer. And I'm like, no. you know, I hated school. And I think society tells us, you know, we make these big lists because society tells us you can't do this. Oh, you're a teen mom. Your life is over. Oh, you've been sexually assaulted. You're trauma. You've had eating disorders. So you're always going to have this body. You can't help anybody. We let society help us write these lists and make the fear even bigger. But I'm here to tell you that you're not those lists. Right. You may be broken and battered and bruised, and you might have your marriage on the rocks. You might have lost a son or a daughter. You might be going through a diagnosis with your child, or you are that child that school's not for you and you stumbled out your way. If you have a dream and a purpose and you have faith, faith is your currency. It will always be your currency. And that's what I try to instill is that, I'm a broken hot mess. I tell that to everybody. I'm the biggest hot mess that you'll ever meet.
Me too, girl.
Like, my husband's very, like, structure, makes plans, makes lists, and I'm like a wrecking ball. I come in like a bull in a china shop. And I'm like, I got this brilliant idea. And my husband's like, pump the brakes. We just opened up this gym. This is our business plan. I'm like, oh, who needs that? Let's go over here. You know, like,
right. Shiny squirrel. Like, yeah.
Yes, I am. Like, I joke around with him all the time. Like, he's my anchor. You know, he keeps me like grounded a little bit, because if I didn't have him and God, I'd probably be like, I'll be out doing everything. Like,
girl, that's so how I am too. Like, I tell Matt all the time, I'm like, you're my lifeguard. I go out in the deep water and you're like, hey, that's too deep. You need to come back up to shore and rest a little bit, you know, or whatever.
I'm like, oh, look, there's a well. Let me jump in like Jonah.
Right.
You know, Jonah did it. I can do it too, you know? Like, that's me, like, in a nutshell. My husband's always like, this is the plan. And then I'm like, by the way, I saw this, and this is a great idea, you know? So I kind of live my life that way.
This is why you and I get along so well.
Right? I just feel like you have to live life, and there's so much roles and ways to be. And, I mean, if you have a dream and it's planted in you, take those risks. And I'm always a risk. I've always been a risk taker. Always been. I think I drove my parents nuts since I was little with all the, like, the risks. I was the kid, my mom will tell you, I got my bike and I wanted to learn how to ride it. I didn't want to wait for my dad. And I crashed. And then my dad came and I went, and my dad said, let go. And I went into the bus stop, you know? I'm one of those kids that have always been a dreamer. And I just didn't understand what purpose was. I always believe that you were just too damaged to have purpose. And I think I share that with you. I tell that all the time. I think the people who have the biggest story and the biggest purpose and the biggest life-changing things that they can help this world, because this world needs Jesus. This world needs the kindness. Those people are the ones that have been through the most darkest storms. And I'm a firm believer that during those storms, I can testify that during your storms are when those purposes and doors come out of nowhere, and you're kind of looking at God like he's crazy, and you're questioning your sanity. Like,
right.
God always comes to me not when my life is great and peachy and sunshine and rainbows. He likes to come when there's a tornado coming down the interstate, and I'm on the interstate, and God's like, okay, let's go over here. And I'm like, but it's a plain field. I'm going to get plowed by this tornado, you know?
Right.
Like, let me go to my shelter. And he's like, no, we're coming. So that's kind of how I've been. And it kind of works for me. It kind of drives, you know, people are like, look at me, and that's just who I am in a nutshell.
Well, I know I've been one of those people to watch you too. And I really am inspired by you. And as I told you before we started this interview, you know, that's why God put it on my heart to ask you, like, hey, do you want to write a book? Because I've just watched you, and you've had this steady, you know, you're doing the things that God's called you to do over and over and over, and you're doing it. You know, like you said, there were times you probably were like, I don't know how, I don't know what it's going to look like, you know, and I'm really amazed at what you've done. And will you tell everyone a little bit about your book? Tell them what the title is. And
first of all, when you asked me to do a book, I thought you were crazy. I like looked at God, and I'm like, you're even more nuts. I've always been in the background. I've always kind of been embarrassed of my story. Like, there's parts of my stories I love to share, but there's parts of me who I'm like, oh goodness, if I put this out there, how is it going to be accepted? Because like I said, you do live in a society where you are judged, and you can be misconstrued, or you can be looked at a totally different light. So when I got this, what's funny is that when I left from Ohio to Florida, there was a card given to me by one of my clients that I had for a while. And it was a beautiful card. And I've always loved mustard seeds. I just love mustard seeds. I love seedlings and just how they bloom and they blossom into something. And so on the card, it was, I had on here, I have the card right next to you. It's hilarious. It said, you are rooted in strength. And I love this card, and I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it, and God put on, he's like, you've always been rooted in strength, but you were always rooted to rise in your strength. Even during the dark times, you're rising above the ashes, even though the farms and the fields next to you cannot be made. All it takes is one little seedling and it blooms into something. So that's where that title, Rooted to Rise and Strength, came from. I kind of wanted to share, I kind of thought this would be the perfect opportunity to let people into who I was.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go into detail, but I wanted to share the Bible verses. I've read so many devotionals throughout my life, and yes, they're awesome, but I felt like you got the Bible verse and then you got the question and then you had to write and stuff, but there's never a context. You know, I never found a devotional or a story context. Why did you pick that Bible verse? You know? So I wanted to share my story and, you know, the crazy bad of a mess, hot mess that I am, the story of myself. And so I started writing the story, and I said day one, and I ended up sharing parts of me, little glimpses, and how that Bible verse came to me.
Yeah.
And how that song played. Like, I don't know about you, but when I'm writing or when I'm needing to just chill, I'm always putting my playlist on. And it's always like God picks those songs that you need to hear at that moment.
Yeah.
And it's like a sprinkle of joy. So I wanted to do something where I told my story. I put the music that I was listening to as I was actually writing the book. Like, there was songs that came to me during those dark times, but I also wanted to put it while I was writing. And so, like, there was times I was writing the book and I was almost done and I thought I had the song picked, but then on my playlist, another song would pick. And I'm like, okay, that's the song that needs to go for this page. So I would have, I wanted to speak life, so I would have daily motivations, but I also wanted to bring the fun of fitness into it. So I would have like little, my sister is a big yoga person. And so she's always sending me like poses to do when I'm like going through a hard time to breathe or whatnot. And so I wanted to kind of attribute that to my sister, because during this time we kind of gotten close. And so that's where the mindfulness pose. I didn't want to call it meditation. I wanted to call it mindfulness, because you're being mindful to you. So I love to color. I'm always drawing. I have the most random, I might be reading the Bible and I'm drawing something like by a scripture.
Yeah.
You know, turns into a smiling face, turns into a star. I'm not the greatest artist, but, I'm always drawing on something.
So, right.
my Bible's a hot mess, and I use highlighters. I love bright, vibrant highlighters. So I thought, why don't we add color? And so it's kind of like my story with little tidbits of me, how these scriptures, yes, I didn't want to, a lot of people who have read my book were like, expected to be very, religion pushed towards you. And I'm like, well, that's not truly, you look at religion one way and it's not truly what it is. I think that best Christians are the ones that have gone through so much storms and they know how to use their story and their testimony without saying, well, God said, no, this is what God, it was spoken over me, and this is how I feel like it can help you. And there's moments that when I wrote this book, I was so unsure. I think I sent a couple of it to one of my good friends, Casey. She was mad that I didn't dedicate the book to her. she didn't get the first copy. I'm like, I don't know how to do that, girl. it got put on to be sold. So she, I told her she got the first one. So, but I would send it to Casey, and Casey's like, you gotta post that and you gotta share that. And, because like I said, I went through a season where, as a small business owner, I'm pretty sure as a pastor, you are held to a different standard. What you post on social media, what you say can be held against you or help flourish you. So I had went through a season where I was so in fear of sharing or saying anything, of being who I was, because it could either hurt Rise or destroy me, or I have kids. It could be, one of my kids went through a thing where kids were making fun of them about their parents owning a gym, or the videos that we post for our gym. He's like, my youngest was like, why do you always say keep rising, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, that's who I am, So I lived through that little fear of, well, if I put this book out here, will I be hurting my family? Will people be judging me even more? And it was kind of a book that I wrote that I smile at now. And I still get tears when I read some of it, because it's hard to believe that I actually wrote this book.
Yeah.
But it was a book that actually, it shows a journey of who I was, from the 4-year-old girl to, it gives you snippets of who I was throughout my life. Even now, like, there's parts of there going through COVID, there's parts of me messing up as a gym owner, because, I'm still learning. I'm still a baby. I'm still in infancy of owning a business. I think they say, your first 5 years is growing and learning. And then, there's parts of me, I wrote this book during a hard time in my family, and it's a book that is there to help others to know that you're not alone. And so I'm just thankful that even God put that in your heart to reach out to me, because what's funny is after I turned in this book to you, I think it was on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve of 2021.
Yeah.
That's when I turned this book into you. I had actually went upstairs and unpacked one of my boxes, and I always write a vision board. I call it a faith board of things I want to accomplish. And my first faith board back in 2017 has on there that I totally forgot about was to write a book.
Oh, that's awesome.
Back in 2017. So it was like, and I was like, well, God, it took me a couple years, but hey. But I feel like, and I've learned that. I think after writing this book, God told me, he's like, you wouldn't have been able to do this if you were still at Rise. You wouldn't have been able to do the things that you were doing if you're still at the gym. Because when I'm at that gym, I would wake up at 3 a.m., work from almost 4 to 11 in the afternoon, and then go back at 4 o'clock and work until 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
You know what? I think that a lot of people Like, you know, they don't understand why certain doors close or why God doesn't work something out. And what we don't realize is God is always working. God is always doing something, and God can see way before us than we can see, you know. And so, you know, like you said, you didn't understand maybe, okay, God, I moved over here. Okay, I'm not at the gym as much. Like, what are you going to do? And then here you go. You got to write a book, and that's something you wanted to do. And I think that's pretty powerful. And I think, you know, if a lot of people would just take their eyes off of the distractions, the problems, the setbacks, and keep their eyes on the Lord and just trust Him, because honestly, all that we do here is not for our own glory, but it's for His. And so He's going to work it out the way He, you know, is going to work it out. We just got to trust Him.
Oh, yeah. I tell people all the time, you know, it's kind of, you know, everybody's talking about these self-driving cars. I don't know about you, but I'm like, I've gotten into one. One of my clients' husband has a self-driving car. I had gotten into it, and he picked me up from the airport, and all of a sudden he went and took his hands in the car door. I'm like, wait a minute, why are you taking your hands off? What are you doing right now? And he's like, it's hands free. And I'm like, that's how I kind of feel how life is that, you know, you think you're in the driver's seat, and truthfully, honestly, you're the passenger. You have all these, you know, moments that you're like, we're going to crash, especially in Cincinnati. I-75 is horrendous. You know, you have all these big old road work that I swear they've been doing road work since I lived there. So, you know, I look at him and I'm like, and semis are everywhere. And I just feel like we focus so much on what's happening right now that we don't see all the things that you have accomplished and achieved and the small blessings and the simple joys
right
that have come through. Like I look back, and there's times I look back, and, you know, people say, oh, don't look at the past. But I look back in the past of the times that I look back, I'm like, how am I still here? Like, I had anorexia nervosa. I almost got hospitalized. I mean, I went underweight. My heart, you know, I had to do heart tests. I was, you know, 13 reasons why. I was the same girl that, you know, that cut herself. How am I still here? You know, like,
right.
It just, there's simple things. Even like I shared, one of the hardest things that I shared in this book was day 12 was one of the hardest days that I actually wrote out there to people to read, to know that I struggled with a bottle of pills and I wanted to take my life. And that's very powerful because we live in a world that mental health is so bad right now. And we feel that's the only way out. And, that was one of my there's so much vulnerability in this book,
but it really
day 12, was one of the most vulnerable. Cause I'm like, oh my God, everybody's going to know that I sat there with a pill of oxycodone and I wanted to let go and I was done. Like I felt like I had already lived enough. Like I felt like today I feel like, oh my God, I feel like I've lived three lives already. Like, okay, God, I joke around with people, when's the rapture happening? Cause I'm on my front seat. Just make sure you don't do it like the Left Behind series while I'm driving. Just don't do that, God. Cause I don't want to be responsible for my car hitting anybody that doesn't go with us. That's what goes into this crazy head.
I just love that your brain like works that way. That's so funny. I love it.
Yes,
okay.
I have that guilt. I just truly feel like people right now need to know that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to share your story. It's okay to not know what your purpose is or what's going to happen. If you don't even have it figured out, but if you have a dream and you have a purpose and you have a story, you're already starting your purpose.
Yeah.
You sharing your story with someone, you may not realize it, but there's someone on your page. There's someone who knows someone that's going through something so simple as you, and you already started your purpose. And we always feel like our purpose has to do with dollars. Our purpose has to be these big corporations, these big, big gyms. In my head, I thought in order to make a difference, I had to be this big gym and have this big following. And God was like, no, you don't need that. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I I truly strongly believe that if you just let go for just a minute, even in the storm, if you just for 1 minute sit down, you're going to feel the dots connect. Even like how I'm dealing with it. And I'm not gonna lie to you. There's days my girlfriends know, there's days I write them, I'm like, what was I thinking? And they're like, are you serious? Look what you have done since you left. I always tell like my girlfriends, they tell me and remind me, like my safety net is always been Rise up in Ohio. And right now I'm in a season of trying to figure out what's next in life. You know, yeah. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to open a gym? Am I supposed to not open a gym? Am I supposed to train people? Am I supposed to write more books? Am I supposed to be a motivational speaker? Because God's like, by the way, you're going to share your story. And I'm like, no, I'm not. So, so here I am sharing my story. And I just truly want to tell people, you know, you are not never too broken enough to be used.
Amen.
And that's what I want to, you know, I just want to end with what God has told on me. He's been, and this is a verse in scripture that he's been putting on my heart, especially with my family right now. It says, it's Jeremiah 31. I love Jeremiah. And it's verse 3. It always said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness, and I will build you up again.
I love
that. That's been in my heart, is even during your storms to always be kind. And that you will always rise again, no matter how dark the world is, you will always rise above your ashes.
Amen. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that you were on the show today. And I know that people will want to follow your pages. Do you mind sharing like how people can get a hold of you, or if they want you to come speak at an event they have or anything like that?
So you can find me on my Jim's page is Rise Above the Ashes Fitness on Instagram and on Facebook. And then my personal is Rise Pal Fit. And you can actually email me at Rise Above the Ashes Fitness online at Gmail to help me come by and speak some life and do some fitness into you. So.
Awesome. I love All that. Right. Thank you so much for being on the show, Paula.
No, thank you. I appreciate it, Carrie.
All right. Bye-bye, girl.
Bye-bye.